Many times people aren't able to reach their destination because they're going in the wrong path with the wrong people, doing the wrong things. And God has to gracefully break us in order to return us, to reestablish us, to shine favor on us, and to exalt us into what He has called us to do.
Come on, Puddin'. You're tuning in to Chatting with Charity.
Hey, what's up? So let me not even act like I have not gone missing in action. This time I have a really, really great excuse. Your girl was moving and I started school. So those two things have been kicking my culo. I'm trying to figure out how to find the balance between, you know, work and my personal life, which does not exist, and all these projects that I've got going on. So in order for your girl to not lose all of her marbles, I decided to just really take a small pause away from my rides with you. But I hope you've had a chance to catch up and just find yourself here comfortable, ready, and available for what the Lord is going to share with us today. And the last life update before I get started is I'm finally in a really great place. I just wanted to say that I'm finally in a really, really great place because I have been nervous about, you know, succeeding through the month of July and really settling into this new season that I am in and really feeling confident about it. So I'm finally confident and feeling like I can really do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? So today's ride is called Gracefully Broken. Why did I decide to do this ride? Because I realized that in adversity and during our hardest times is when we really see the face of God and the hand of God in our lives. Many times people aren't able to reach their destination because they're going in the wrong path with the wrong people, doing the wrong things. And God has to gracefully break us in order to return us, to reestablish us, to shine favor on us, and to exalt us into what He has called us to do. But of course, being gracefully broken does not feel good. As a matter of fact, being broken in anything, whether it is broke in your pockets, heartbroken, or broken on the side of the road. There is no such thing as broken ever feeling so good. But when it comes to the kingdom of God and the way that God strategizes and moves, being gracefully broken is exactly what you need. Now, I want to talk to you about two people in the Bible. Jacob, whose name was later changed to Israel, and Saul, whose name was later changed to Paul. Now, why these two characters are very significant is because both of them were gracefully broken. And in their breakation, they ended up coming out new people and getting new names that were more fitting and worthy of what God saw them to be after their brokenness. When we allow ourselves to break, and you'll see these inside of these two stories, that when we allow ourselves to break, we are actually breaking the old version of ourselves so that God can put us back together as the potter that He is and really allowing us to be the mosaic that He always saw us to be. So when you are broken, it just means that if you know science, all matter stays in this world. Matter is not created, nor is it destroyed. So when you are broken, you're not being destroyed or created. You're just being molded back into what God originally wanted you to be, because sometimes we lose our way. And that's okay, because we know that we have a God who is able to restore us back to what we were supposed to be. So we're going to start with Jacob, and we're going to go to Genesis chapter 32, verse 22nd through 29. In this particular verse, and I'll read it to you, Jacob is wrestling with God, because what happened around this time is that Jacob had taken his birthright away from his brother Esau and then ran off to his in-laws to hide for several years, actually. And when he was ready to come back and God told him it was safe, Jacob was very apprehensive of it, because you could only imagine your brother still trying to kill you because you took away his birthrights, being sneaky, right? So Jacob was so worried about coming back, and he wrestled with this angel because he said, listen, I need to go back. And I know you've told me to go back, but there is no way I can go back until you bless me. So let's just read now Genesis chapter 32, verse 22 to 29. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jacob. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrecked as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man said, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him there. Now, this is very interesting. I want you to understand that when God decided to gracefully break Jacob, it first started with the wrestling match that caused Jacob to get injured. Sometimes we feel like the things in our lives that look like physical challenges and handicaps are really reminders of our need for God and really how far God has carried us and saved us from things. Now, I don't wish any form of physical impairments on anyone, but there are times where God is still saving you in your life and still using you and still calling you worthy and still needing you and allowing these things to happen to us to allow us to connect with him and to lean more on him. Now, in the case of Jacob, Jacob was willing to fight and do whatever was necessary as long as God blessed him. So he didn't care if he had to use a cane for the rest of his life. He just knew he needed his name to be changed. Could you imagine always on the run, always hiding, and never feeling like you can go back home because of something that you did? God will break you to reestablish and to restore things in your life that were once lost. After this particular scene with Jacob, where his hip was broken and his name was changed, he was so shocked that when he got to his brother's house and he met with Esau, Esau opened his arms with him wide and said, no, come on. Esau even refused the offerings that Jacob was giving as a, an omen of good faith, and he didn't need it. He just said, come on in, I have enough land, I have enough stuff. And as a matter of fact, they had so much stuff that they really had to create more space in between them. So a lot of the times when we are broken, it's because God is trying to reestablish favor in our lives. Favor with our so-called enemies and favor with the environments that we may have upset or may be upset by us, right? So favor can do very many things. And in the sense of Jacob, it also did another thing for him. Favor allowed him to meet his son again. His favorite son, Joseph, was sold into slavery, but he didn't know that. He thought his son had been, swallowed up by an animal out in the wilderness, and that was not true. His brothers actually sold him into slavery and lied to their dad, Jacob, about it. So what ended up happening for Jacob after this restoration is that Jacob was reconnected with his son, Joseph. Joseph, when they reconnected, ended up taking care of the entire family and building a land and a space for them where Pharaoh was at. Now, even though Jacob did not necessarily live a great life from my perspective, he did keep the anointing in his family. Whether he robbed it from Esau or Esau robbed it from him in the womb, the reality is that God did continue to favor Jacob and his family, and it all came from this particular moment of being gracefully broken. Now, really what broke Jacob, I believe, is that when you're by yourself and you don't have a family and you don't have all these different people around you who are responsible and innocent, you don't feel the need to think about the consequences of your actions. But Jacob found himself like, oh my goodness, I have this whole family, all of these kids, and now I have to protect them. What am I going to do? At this moment, when Jacob saw everything that he had built and created for himself, which he felt unworthy but grateful for, he knew that there was no way that he was going to be able to keep it if he was not being gracefully broken. So Jacob being gracefully broken allowed him to keep the desires of his heart. It allowed him to keep the desires of his heart and to protect his family. Now, when we look at somebody like Saul, Saul was a person who was greatly hated by the followers of Christ because Saul killed people like you and I. just for the heck of it, right? So at this point, when Saul was on his road to Damascus, there was a bright light that flashed in front of him that knocked him to the floor and caused him to go blind. At that moment, that is when Saul experienced his gracefully brokenness. God knew that what Saul was going to do was not honorable to his kingdom, and he decided in that moment to remove sight from Saul. Saul's sight was not reestablished until after Saul understood who had taken his sight from him. And God had said to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why are you going to kill my people?" And at that moment, he was like, "Oh my God, like, is this God thing real?" So Saul had to have an encounter with God, have his sight removed. And what ended up happening is that Saul's name was then changed to Paul after his sight was regained. In this particular story about Saul's transition to Paul, you see that God took Saul's sight and gave him Paul's sight. But there was something else that Paul had to endure. Now, Paul went from being extremely feared on the left-hand side because he was killing the followers of Christ to being feared on the right-hand side because the followers of Christ did not believe that this man was really a true follower of Christ. They just assumed, once crazy, always crazy. But see, God will find a way to reestablish who you are, even if man does not feel you are worthy. So this is what I talk about gracefully being broken, is that when you are broken, your brokenness comes with grace, and God's grace is sufficient. Now, Paul ended up becoming one of the great apostles who wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. There is no other greater person outside of Paul but Jesus Christ himself. So you can see how God will not just take everything you've done and hold you accountable for it, but God will take it and use it for his glory. And how did God do that in the case of Saul to Paul? God made Saul become Paul, and Paul became the greatest evangelist of Christ. It's sometimes the people who do the worst things that God uses because they are humbled down to the floor and broken the most. When you are broken, it doesn't necessarily mean you've done bad things like in the case of, you know, Saul. It can also just mean that you're not getting the right message, you're not fully aware of it. There are many different reasons why God breaks us, and that's a conversation between you and Christ. But I want you to understand that God can break people so he can turn the followers of Satan into the followers of Christ, because at the end of the day, God desires for all of his children to be able to enter into the pearly heavenly gates. And in this particular story of Paul, in Paul's like ill intent of what he did as Saul, he had to make up for it times 20 times 1,000 because he understood how much damage he had done. Even when God forgave Saul and made him Paul, Paul still knew that he had to account for his actions as Saul. So Paul didn't necessarily have a life with so many friends, and he really traveled far and wide and did so much work and, you know, wasn't well liked. And that's just sometimes the consequences of our actions. But at the end of the day, God still showed favor on Paul and reestablished him. And when we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10, I want to kind of frame it a little bit for you so you understand what's happening here. This is Paul talking about how he has a thorn on his spine that was given to him by Satan, but God refused to remove it because God told him that that is a reminder of you, that in your weakness, you are made strong because of my power and the power that I have put inside of you. So in this particular account, it is Paul expressing this experience of having this thorn in his spine and really what it means for his walk with Christ and why he appreciates the thorn in his spine, why he appreciates being gracefully broken, why he appreciates needing God, but also God desiring and wanting him. So it says, "The things God showed me were so great, but to keep me from being too full of pride because of seeing these things, I have been given trouble in my body. It was sent from Satan to hurt me. It keeps me from being proud. I asked the Lord 3 times to take it away from me. He answered me, 'I am all you need. I give you my loving favor. My power works best in weak people. Now Paul continues, I am happy to be weak and have troubles so I can have Christ's power in me. I receive joy when people talk against me and make it hard for me and try to hurt me and make trouble for me. I rejoice when all of these things come to me because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You have to understand that being gracefully broken is God breaking you so that he can connect you to him. Grace is defined as the love God is shown to the unloving, the peace that God has given to the restless, and the unmerited favor of God. For whatever reason God decides to gracefully break you, you have to understand it is because who you are going to be on the other side of that is worthy of a name change. It is worthy of writing more books than any other apostle. It is worthy of keeping the grace and the dignity in your family. It is worthy of just closing God's eyes to all the things that you've done in the past and in the case of Jacob, protecting your family. Being gracefully broken is how we stay in the kingdom and how we stay a part of the promise. When we think about how our flesh operates, right? We think about all the things it causes us to do, the way it wrecks our spirit, and honestly, all the things that we have done bad in this world because of our flesh. Are we supposed to just walk away and feel like, well, God loves me, there are no consequences to our actions? No, there are consequences to everyone's actions, and everyone will have to be gracefully broken at some point. If you have not been gracefully broken, then you are pretty much facing a lot of opposition in your life, and I'm sure your life is very, very stressful. I'm sure like doors have not opened for you, and you're living in chaos. That's because you haven't been broken. Being broken allows you to accept that you need God in your life, and you're willing to take whatever version of that life he has created for you to have, as long as it means you reach your great destiny. It means that you are no longer willing to do it on your own and by yourself. And even if you have to fight an angel, wrestle and get your hip broken, or you have to walk around with a thorn in your spine, sit from Satan, you are still going to pursue the will of God, and you are still going to choose God daily. Many of us like to live in our comfort zone. The only thing that remains comfortable are our demons. Our demons are very comfortable with disturbing us, very comfortable with coming to kill, steal, and destroy. Our demons are the most comfortable spiritual thing that happens in this atmosphere because they truly believe in what they do, okay? And they have no problem wrecking havoc. But you have to stay on your toes, okay? You have to be able to know how to be nimble in Christ. And the only way you can truly be nimble in Christ is if you are hearing from him. What is in your life that allows you to know that you are still connected to God, that you are consistently living in the space of being gracefully broken? Every single day, we have to allow our flesh to die so that God can amplify the Holy Spirit inside of us. If I had to talk about myself for a second, I would honestly say that the time that I spend by myself being lonely is really where I'm able to see that God is still with me. If I had a lot of people around me, I really wouldn't feel God is there. So I have had to take this isolation and this loneliness and this being by myself and turning it into a sanctuary of some sort, because I know that in my loneliness, when I don't feel lonely, even though your girl be lonely, I know that I'm dwelling with God. It's very weird, but I kind of live, this is probably a shocker, that I live in a very quiet space. Like, I don't really watch TV, listen to music unless it's like gospel, some sermons, and maybe I might cave here and there and watch a reality show or two. But for the most part, I'm not really playing noise. So I have accepted that silence is how I communicate with God. Now, for a person like myself, right? I've been transparent with you about my issues with rejection. Loneliness used to feel like a punishment. It used to feel like a punishment. But in many ways, God was like charity. I have to keep you in a lonely bubble so that I can communicate with you. You have so much energy that, I feel that one. You have so much energy that if I don't keep you home, lonely, quiet, and boring, I don't know if you'll be able to hear from me. So I really do love and appreciate the fact that my life can sometimes be really lonely and boring. And I know that anytime I want to go out, I can, but I do feel more at peace in this quietness, which is very, very shocking for many people because they think I am an extrovert. I really am not. I'm an introvert and I fare better in quiet spaces. And I really sit and I hear the water running. And that is noise to me. It's very strange. Some people don't. Okay, one day, just turn everything off and sit in silence and you'll hear the noises in your house, right? That is what I'm used to listening to. Toilets flushing above and below. Okay, that's enough of me being weird. But at the end of the day, I really don't try to overwhelm myself with what my situation looks like because it's just a reminder that in these type of environments, God is able to download things into me much faster than I am able to receive things in chaotic environments because I have too much energy. So for whatever it is you have been believing in God for, what are you willing to do to allow yourself to be gracefully broken so you can be available for the things of God? Now, I don't want you to think that it's going to be gracefully broken in the sense of, I am about to go through trauma. I'm about to go through pain. You're just about to go through whatever is necessary for you to have favor, right? Whatever is necessary for you to be able to be elevated, whatever is necessary for you to have restoration in your life. If you are going through a lot of things in your life, hey, you are going through some tinzo. You are going through some battles. You need to position yourself to break. Position yourself and you need to fall and surrender because the reality is that you cannot sustain what God did not create. If God did not create it, it doesn't come with the necessary provision or resources to sustain itself. And a lot of us live outside of our human and even spiritual capacity because we are not doing the things that God has called us to do. Your tools are for a specific purpose. You will not take a hammer to go and fix a window, okay? You will not take a hammer to go and clean a window. You will not take a hammer unless you want to be Jasmine Sullivan. I bust the windows out your car. That is when you go and take a hammer and a sledge into the car. But that is what? Chaos, right? So when you have certain tools in your repertoire and who you are and in your spirit, your gifts and your talents, they're for a very, very specific thing. And if you have the humility to be gracefully broken, you will understand exactly who God called you to be. And you won't be afraid of that brokenness. You'll be more afraid of never being broken. I love you so much and I thank you for allowing me to do this ride. Your girl has been struggling to get these podcasts back up and going, but I am excited to get back on the road with you. Now, it might not be every single week, probably every other week, because I'm telling you, school is something different. They don't prepare you for this one. They don't prepare you for Zoom and Excel classes and biology. I don't understand. I am stressed from here to there, but it's okay because at the end of the day, His grace is sufficient. So if I have to suffer a little bit, I will suffer. But it is feeling like a lot of bit. So at the end of the day, be willing to constantly break for the kingdom and you will be elevated in His glory. I love you. Bye.
Don't forget to rate this podcast, share, like, and subscribe. See you next Thursday on Chatting with Charity, and don't forget to bring your friend. Until then, you can find us on Instagram @ChattingWithCharity.